There are times in life when you become aware that there are forces beyond your control. We all like to live in a bubble that says that we can determine our own destinies. But then something goes badly wrong. An unexpected illness cuts across our plans. Life bowls us a ball that we'd never seen coming. How do you feel when it sinks in that you are not in control? Matthew tells a story about when this happened to Jesus' disciples. They came face to face with the forces of nature, and they were not the ones in control. The way Matthew tells the story, he's showing us the emotions of Jesus' disciples, how they felt, how they reacted. Jesus' disciples provide a foil against which to look at our own emotions in life. So let's have a look then at this story, Matthew 8, 23 to 27. And we're going to use two headings to give us a bit of a handle on it as we do so. Firstly, fear at the storm. Fear at the storm. Let me read again, 23 to 26. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Lake Galilee was prone to storms. The surface of the lake is just over 200 meters below sea level, which causes some weird wind conditions. But we need to be clear, Jesus' disciples were not landlubbers taking a boating trip on the Serpentine and worried when they put the first foot in the boat that it wobbles a bit. If you remember Matthew chapter 4, at least four of these disciples were fishermen by trade. They knew the lake, its weather, and its storms. But this one was bad. They were so terrified that they thought they were going to die. So they woke Jesus. They did not wake him so that he could help out bailing the water out of the boat. The disciples went and woke Jesus, saying, "Lord, save us." That's why they wanted Jesus awake. They had seen Jesus heal the sick. Now it was time for him to deal with this lake. Jesus wakes up and he is totally calm, unflappable, totally in control. And he'll get to the waves in a minute. But first it's time to address the turbulent hearts of these fishermen. "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" He tells them off. They should have trusted him. It's not that they had no faith. They woke him up, didn't they? They thought he could help. But if they had really believed that they had God's Messiah, God's rescuer, sat there in the boat, they would have realized that they had to be safe. God was not going to let his rescuer king, that he'd spent thousands of years preparing for, die in a storm. They hadn't thought it through. They didn't really grasp who Jesus was, and so they reacted with fear at the storm. Storms are still terrifying today. You think of the railway line washed into the sea at Dawlish. You think of the tragedies when the sea is stormy and someone gets swept into the sea from the promenade. The force of the ocean is phenomenal. The sea is to be treated with respect. No wonder they were afraid. This was one of those moments when they knew they were not in control. They were at the mercy of the waters, fear at the storm. But second, fascination at the Saviour. Fascination at the Saviour. But let me read again verses 26 and 27. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Notice two details about the way Jesus deals with the storm. It's very similar to the way he dealt with the leprosy, the centurion's servant, and Peter's mother-in-law earlier in the chapter. First, he did it simply with a word. He simply rebuked the winds and the waves. He told them off, told them where to get off, asked them to get back in their box and behave. Just as he gave the word and the centurion's servant was healed, if you remember that one. Second, it was instant. Now you remember Peter's mother-in-law, instantly better, back on her feet and serving tea and cakes. So it was with this storm. Massive waves like that would take hours, if not days, to calm down. Not this time. The moment he issued the command, the wind went quiet and the sea went flat. There was no doubt at all this was a miracle. The sea had met its maker. It wasn't a coincidence that things started to get a tiny little bit better just as Jesus embarrassed himself by pretending he could control the sea. Perhaps it helped. The waters went flat as easily as you or I could smooth out a duvet. And substantially more easily than we can ask a dog to sit and it will do what it's told. They called on Jesus to save them, and he did. The men were no longer in fear at the storm. They were in fascination at their Saviour. These men knew their Old Testament, and in particular they would have known the Psalms. For example, Psalm 107 contains these words in verses 23 to 31. Just find it. Here we are, Psalm 107, verse 23. "Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." God is the one who stirs the seas up into a terrifying storm, so that sailors' courage melts away. God is the one they cry out to in their trouble. And God is the one who stills the storm to a whisper, who hushes the waves of the sea, who brings about a great calm. This is for God to do, and God alone. And they have just watched Jesus do it. Just who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. You see why they were amazed, why they were awed. They must be in the presence of God himself. Back in chapter 1, the angel said to Joseph that Jesus would fulfill the ancient prophecy of Emmanuel, God with us. Did the disciples really believe that? Well, they did now. Because now it seems that with Jesus, God really has come to live with us. It's the only conclusion to draw. Fascination at the Saviour. There's a phrase insurers use to describe events in the natural world over which we have no control. They call them acts of God. Earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, hurricanes, blizzards. God causes them. They are acts of God. No man can cause them, control them, or stop them. Only God can. except there is one man who can. And that person is Jesus. He's in full control of what we call acts of God. No wonder these men were amazed. Fascination at the Saviour. We often look around and we ask, who is in charge around here? Not just in charge of you and me, in charge of the natural world. And the answer is Jesus. He can do anything he wants. He wrote what we call the laws of nature. They're actually not laws of nature, they're the laws of Jesus. They're the laws of Jesus about how the natural world is to behave. He wrote them, he upholds them, and when he wants to, he can break them. He could make an apple go uphill when you drop it, if he wanted to. He's totally, fully, and functionally in charge. If Jesus wasn't, he wouldn't be worth a second look. He could make all the promises he liked about a future that is free of pain and suffering, but he couldn't guarantee any of it. He simply isn't powerful enough to underwrite his promises. That's if he's not in charge. But he is. He controls the forces of nature. So nothing but nothing stands in the way of Jesus delivering the things that he died to secure. Which brings us back to where we began. Sometimes you look around and it dawns on you that you are not in control of your life. How do you feel when that happens? It's easy to feel frightened. Like you're in a kind of a car which has got no brakes and the steering's gone as well. Frightened. There's an alternative. And allow it to dawn on you that Jesus is in control at precisely those points where you are not. And to dwell on that and allow it to soak in until you are just fascinated and awestruck at the thought that Jesus really is in control and you couldn't wish for anybody else to be in that position. In fact, frankly, he would do a better job than we would anyway. And then, by God's grace, like the storm of the sea, a great calm can come over our hearts as they too are flattened and smoothed.